Stay standing now. Grab your Bibles. Ephesians chapter number 2 this evening. Ephesians chapter number 2. Begin reading in verse number 12. And we'll read responsively through the end of the chapter, verse number 22. Ephesians chapter number 2, I'll begin reading in verse number 12, and then you'll join me on verse 13. We'll alternate like that down through verse number 22. Ephesians chapter number 2. Beginning in verse number 12, the Bible says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We'll pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for our families. We thank you for the time we spent this afternoon around the table enjoying a day of remembering the importance of why we're doing what we're doing. Lord, as we're here tonight, the truth has been prepared. May our hearts be tendered. May our minds be focused. May the truth be simple and clear. We'll ask that we'd be able to be blessed because of what's been preached tonight. We'll ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Let me just put a little spin on. If you missed this morning's sermon, I challenge you to get it. It'll be a help to you, I promise. A very simple truth, but one that would help you. Throughout the whole Bible, God uses the home, marriage, family, parenting, etc., as an illustration of what he wants for us as his children. God knew how important the home is. God wants that kind of closeness with us. You have to picture your Christian life as being part of God's family. You know the song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Well, guess what? If you're saved, you're part of the family of God. Now, here's a very sad statement. Our homes and the relationships in our homes do reveal our closeness to God. Our text verse tonight is verse number 19. The Bible says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now, God makes a very interesting statement here. He tells us that we don't need to be strangers, foreigners, and as he said in verse number 12, aliens. That's not talking about little green men with six eyes, but people from another country or someone totally different than we are. And God says he wants us to be a family and part of his household. You all are like my family, but there's only a few people in here that actually are family. Does that make sense? I enjoy having folks at my house, and when you come to my house, you're part of the family. No problem. But I ain't giving you a key. It ain't happening that way. Not unless you're going to pay all the bills. Yeah, that just spoiled it for you, didn't it? All right? We don't need to just visit church. Church needs to be like God's home. I really believe this is God's house. It's called the house of God for a reason. And he says he wants us to be part of the household of God. The household. That's the people that actually make the house run. That's the people that make up the house. Now, listen very carefully here. God has given Grace Baptist Church a great family atmosphere. I'm probably going to hare-lip somebody. I'm not intending to. It is not something we try to have. It's not something we put on the sign saying, let's have a family spirit here. It's not a program that we have built. It is a result of obedience to God. The family atmosphere in a church is in direct proportion to the obedience to God of the people in the church. You see, when you do it God's way, we become part of the family. You know, there's peace in the family when people are following the rules of the family. When people are obeying the rules of the home and people are where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be, how they're supposed to be, and doing the things they're supposed to be while they're there, there's peace in the home, just like the church. It's when we get out of sorts with those things. Isn't it amazing? Somebody will miss church week after week after week after week, and then they say, well, I just don't feel like my church family cares. Well, where were you? I understand sickness, but don't get mad at the church. Everybody doing okay? Okay, hang in there. Our closeness to God is what creates a family atmosphere. It is not a program that you try to accomplish. I often worry about churches that promote on their signs and in their literature, oh, we have a wonderful family atmosphere here. That's only true if you're doing what God says. If you notice, we don't promote the family atmosphere. It just happens. God wants your home to have the same atmosphere as church. Now we're going to get to meddling. Does your home have the same joy, happiness, excitement, and spirit as Grace Baptist Church? It can. It should. Most homes are not what they should or could be, just so you know. And the atmosphere in our homes is in direct proportion to the relationship of God with each individual within the home. Let me say that again. The atmosphere in the home is in direct proportion to the relationship with God with each individual in the home. If you have, in our case, when my children were growing up, we had five in the home. Did you know as long as all five were right with the Lord, we had a good spirit? But did you know every once in a while there was one that was contrary? Not Josh, never. No. It's always been Mindy. Always been Mindy. Wait a minute. If there's one contrary, did you know that 4/5 of the home still could be in a good fellowship? But it only takes one to disrupt that. And usually one affects another. And then sometimes those two affect everybody. It only takes one bad apple to start making the whole barrel going bad. It's kind of like when you're screaming and hollering at your kids, I just can't believe your bad attitude. Okay, did you see yours right now? I get it. There's days you feel like that, but where did they learn it? So the spirit in our home is in direct proportion to the closeness of God with each individual within the home. I'm going to make a statement here. Please don't misrepresent it. I am not against family devotions. I'm for a family reading the Bible and praying together. I'm more for each individual learning to walk with God on their own. If the only time you read your Bible or the only time you pray is when you're with your family, when your family is no longer there, they won't read their Bible, they will not pray. Parents, you do your children a disservice to where if the only time they pray or read their Bibles when you're doing it with them. Teach them to do it on their own. The day will come where they're not going to be under your leadership and they need to learn to walk with God on their own or they're not going to make it.
Yes, sir.
I'm not saying don't read the Bible and pray with your family. I'm saying don't make that the measure of the spirituality in your home. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, rattle your head one way or the other. All right. God wants our homes to be as enjoyable as church. And that kind of spirit, the kind of spirit we have here, is not something you're going to produce. It comes by a relationship with God, not because you're saying we're going to have this kind of spirit at our home. It's a byproduct of a relationship. Did you know a good spirit in a marriage is a byproduct of two people that are walking with God? God wants home in all of the relationships in it to be like what we have at God's house. We live in such a busy, fast-paced society. People don't even spend time at home. Now, hang on. People want to be busy. They want to be doing something all the time. Homes today are more like a hotel where people just come in and crash and go out and do something else. The average home in America today is frequented less than most hotels are. It's just a place to sleep, every once in a while eat. Place to gather everybody in the driveway and take off again. Everybody doing all right? Man, I feel like I'm on an island all by myself. Yeah, homes today are, we've spent so much money on all that we have, we have to work all the time in order to pay for what we have. Or people cheat God and take God's time to spend it with family because they're too busy. How many times have I been soul winning? Well, Sunday's my only day to do what I want to do. Oh. May I say something? Our homes ought not be just a place you check in and check out every night and every morning. There's something about the word home that I enjoy. I enjoy where I live. I enjoy being there with my wife. Sometimes she enjoys me. I enjoy when my family comes. Josh and Ruth Ann and the kids will come. And this week, Mindy and Michael will be here towards the end of the week. And they'll be coming. And Beatrice flies in a week or so. Good night. My house will be a zoo. It's great. The laughing and carrying on. It gets so loud in there when everybody's there. It's great. But when they leave, my wife and I go, ah, it's quiet. Back to the quiet. Amen. That's why you have kids when you're young. Amen. Now, how do we get our household to be like God's? How do we get the spirit at home to be like church? How do you know if your church has the right spirit? Let's look at what God has to say quickly. Number one, you need to be in the right family. First of all, you can't be an alien. That word, and I'm not talking about do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Look at verse number 12. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens. In other words, before you get saved, you're an alien. You're from a different country, from different genetics. In other words, we ought not live at home like the lost world does. Please don't get mad at me. A lot of Christian homes aren't much better than the lost world's homes. You just don't use all the same bad words. You don't have any more closeness than they have. Ouch. Salvation brings us into the family of God. That's why it's important for family to be saved. That's why those of us that have lost family members, when we all get together, those are the hardest people to get along with. Y'all know what I'm talking about? If you have lost family, you know what I'm talking about. Or family that's rebellious towards God. Oh, man. That makes life real exciting. It changes the spirit of everything. Look at verse number 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you what makes you part of the family of God? You're engaged to the family. God says that the church is betrothed to him. We're engaged. We are not the bride of Christ yet. We will be after the rapture. That means as your children get old enough to marry and they become engaged, that the person to whom they are engaged to, you ought to bring into your family. I don't have a son-in-law and a daughter-in-law. I just picked up another son and another daughter. Now, they didn't marry their sister and brother, but I get it. I don't look at them as in-law. I look at them as family. Yeah. No, that part isn't the outlaws. My wife's sister is my sister. Her husband is my brother-in-law. They're as important to me as my own blood relatives. Everybody doing okay? Why? It's her family. We're one. Now, I'm glad they live in Texas most of the time, but just like I'm glad I have family that lives out of state too. Now, wait a minute. That means engagement. It means being born into the family. When you're born into the family, like it or lump it, you're part of the family. But I'm going to make another statement here too. Adoption is also part of the family. God says that we are not only, we are spiritually born with the blood of Christ, we get the eternal genetics of God, but he has to adopt us into his family to keep us there. God talks about being born again, but he also talks about adoption. Romans chapter 6. You see, we have to understand adoption is just as much family. You say, well, that's not a real part of your family. Yes, they are. These bus kids are just as much a part of our church as those that come in with their parents. How come you can love a bus kid more than you can an adopted kid? I'm just going to go ahead and say it here. Stepchildren are just as much your children as though they're blood. There's more to being family than DNA. The state makes a big mess of themselves by trying to place kids only in families that are DNA related. Some of the problem is the DNA and they can't handle it. I'm not afraid to say that. Two pigs can have babies. That doesn't mean that they're parents. Amen. That's the nicest way I know how to say that, with little ears in the room. Just because you can transfer biology doesn't mean that you're a good parent. Amen. And just because you share DNA with somebody doesn't mean that you're a good parent. Amen. I'm going to keep going there. Did you know that that in-laws ought to be just as much a part of your family as biology? You know, my father-in-law and my mother-in-law are my mom and my dad. I wish you could see how I try to care for them as I have cared for my parents. My wife will tell you that's true. Several years ago, they were coming here, and I just had this talk with my mom and dad, and I'm talking, it's got to be my soul, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. And I sat them down. I'd already had this talk with my mom and dad. And I said, Mom, Dad, I hate having this talk, but y'all are getting to the point in life where we got to talk through this and we got to know what's going on. Because if something happened to you, who has power of attorney? Who's got medical power of attorney? Who's got financial power of attorney? Who's making decisions for you? Well, we haven't thought about it. It's had time to think about it. We sat down and talked for probably 20 minutes that day. About a week later, I got a phone call. My mother-in-law called me. She said, Craig, we've decided we want you to be our medical power of attorney. I said, be careful. I'll pick which nursing home you go to. I said, and I joked with them. They said, we're making Crystal in charge of finances, and we think you would be the best to make the medical decisions we need made when the time comes. She said, we're having the lawyers draw up the paperwork, and you'll be getting papers from the lawyer, and this is what it's going to be. I have sitting on my file right now legal forms giving me medical power of attorney for my in-laws. I have medical power of attorney for my parents. When Dad was down with COVID and Mom was in the hospital, he called the hospital and said, Craig has medical power of attorney. Don't call me. Call him. Here's his phone number. And don't bother me. He'll talk to me. And I took every phone call from every doctor, every nurse, and every decision went through me. Why? That's what my job was. It's okay. Can I tell you something? I'll do that for her family. You ought to do it for in-laws, stepchildren. You ought to accept them as your children. So, well, they don't make it easy. Well, I don't sound like you're making it very easy either. Church family ought to be family. I'm glad at our church at Christmas and Thanksgiving and different times, y'all are making sure everybody's got somewhere to go and be with somebody. I love that. Feeling welcomed doesn't mean you have to have a key. I love y'all, but I ain't giving everybody keys to the church. Amen. Now, I'll guarantee you'd never use it because I'm here more than you are, and you wouldn't be here early enough to open it up. But I will say this. You can be welcome at my home, but that my kids are welcome at my home, but there's only one that has a key. Say why? Because nobody else needs it. Everybody doing okay? Just like we accept everyone at church, we need to accept everybody in our family. I know everybody's got that aunt or that uncle that's hard to accept. Or that brother or sister. I get it. We all got them. It doesn't mean you condone the wrong that they do, but you can still love them as family. Loving somebody as family doesn't mean you let them bring the wrong into your house or into what you're doing. I'm not going to give names. You'll know, and that's it. But my wife had some family that came to visit us, and they smoked. We were in South Carolina. This is a long time ago. We're talking 25-ish years ago. He was just a little shaver. Mindy wasn't around, and Jeff may have been a baby if he was even alive yet. Long time ago, they came. And I told them when they got here, I said, I love you, but you will not smoke in my house. And I hate to say this, my kids don't need to see you smoking, so don't even smoke out on the porch or in the front yard. Take a little walk if you gotta smoke. I said, I'm not trying to be hard. I'm just asking you, and no problem, Craig. I was kind. I was gracious, but I was firm. This one saw one of them smoking. And said their title and their name. Did you know smoking's bad? And then the famous statement, you're going to go to hell for smoking. Oh. I just about got told where to go that day too. But anyway, he had no tact back then. He has little now, but he had none back then. Doesn't mean you condone the wrong they do and you stand firm for your household. But you can do it in a nice way. Oh, by the way, both of them quit smoking. Both of them love my family as their own family would, trust me. They love me. When they have problems, they call. You see, You have to learn to accept everybody and all the baggage that comes with it. It doesn't mean you let the bad stuff in your home. Number two, I've got to hurry. You want to have the right spirit in your home like we have here at church? You got to have the right music in your home. Turn to Ephesians 5, just a few pages over. I'm just going to show you what God says. Look at verse number 17. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Boy, there's a whole mouthful that goes into this. Do you know that wrong music and alcohol go together? Wrong music and drugs go together. Why do we want to bring drug-addicted, drunk people into our home singing their music to our kids? I'm not angry with you. Turn to Ecclesiastes, right after Psalms and Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Let me show you what God has to say. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, look at verse number 5. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. What is the scriptural definition of a fool? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Go through the book of Proverbs and find out what a fool is. A fool is somebody who knows what's right and does wrong on purpose. And why do we let fools sing in our homes? And we wonder why we have bad spirit in our homes, bad spirit in our marriages, and a lot of it comes because of bad music. And I'm not talking just about the words, I'm talking about the style. You can put Jesus' name to rock and roll, but it doesn't make it good music.
That's right.
Rock and roll music is a perversion of music. Do you know there's, musically speaking, rock and roll music is the most vile form of music there is? It's not really music, it's noise. It has beat, and it has about three or four chords that they use over and over and over again. That's why people can do it while they're stoned and while they're high, because there's no thinking to it. Musically speaking, it's not good. And I could go into a long dissertation on that. I'm not going to. But there are songs of fools. They go against the Bible. They go against what God says. Why would we let that in our home? God says, speaking to yourselves, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Man, when my kids were growing up, man, they were singing all the time. We had good music going all the time. My daughter was the only one in the world that enjoyed my singing. Every night I would sing to my daughter. Every night I'd pray with her and sing to her. She'd say, Daddy, can we sing another one? And I'd sing. She was the only one in the world that loved my singing. Now she doesn't love it. But I can tell you this. We had a happy home. Why would we want to entertain the flesh more than entertain God? Watch the music in your home. Watch the music in your cars. Watch the music that you hear on TV. Watch the music in the video games that your kids play. It's amazing how much vile music is played in video games. I'm not going to ask you. But anybody over the age of 25, you can think of a song you heard 15, 20, 25 years ago, and you can hear it played at the gas station or restaurant somewhere, and you can start humming it and singing the words. Why do you want to give the bad words to your children? How about good words? I rarely ever open a songbook. I can sing almost every verse of every song that we sing. I get most of the words right. Can I tell you something? It's because I sing them all the time. Could that be why one of the reasons our... By the way, go to a church that has the wrong kind of music and I'll show you people that are bickering with each other. Go to a church that plays the wrong kind of music and I'll show you people that are worldly in their attitude. Every time. Every time. Number three. Oh, got the coon in the tree. Amen. Number three. We need to keep the right influences and doctrines in our homes. Look at verse 17. And take the... I'm in Ephesians 5. Sorry. I knew something wasn't right there. And came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You would not want wrong doctrine, false gods, and evil influences at church. Okay, everybody look at me for a second. You wouldn't want me bringing Walt Disney things in here playing things about evil, would you? Or Hallmark movies made with sodomites kissing each other. Now, wait a minute. Why do we let it in our home? You wonder why we have a protected spirit here and the spirit's good. Well, if it's good at church, it's good at home. Okay, that one hurt. You'd get upset if all I did was teach about how wonderful Thor and Zeus and some of these other Greek mythological gods or Roman gods were. Half of the video games or more that most people play involve gods, false gods, evil powers. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I'm talking about some of the stuff we watch on television like Marvel and Forces of Evil. Well, they're doing it for good. Star Wars. Preacher, Star Wars? Yeah, Star Wars. I'm not saying you're sinful, but why would we let bad doctrine and false gods into our homes? Doctrines of devils? Hollywood? How about the books that we read? How about all the killing? Good night. My children may have played games when they were teenagers, but I had no killing games in my house unless it was hunting videos. I think it's abominable for people, even in a game, to shoot and kill somebody else. That is the mind of a murderer, and we wonder why kids have a bad attitude. I'll guarantee you take the video games away from your kids that involve violence and rock music, and I'll guarantee, take them away for 3 weeks, watch their attitude change. Let them go back to it and watch their attitude go the wrong direction. I don't even have to ask. I can prove it. Be careful of professional athletes being more important in the home than godly people. Boys and girls, you ought not worship some stupid athlete. Worship some godly person. I don't mean worship, but I mean have as a hero your mom and dad versus some stupid athlete. You don't need LeBron James. You need Jesus. You don't need some sodomite who's been locked up in a Russian prison that our president got rid of and left our military people rot in the prison. That's right. DNA doesn't make something best or right. Be careful of the lost, worldly, wicked family. Protect your family from them. I didn't say don't ever associate with them, but just protect them. Teach them how to be around them. Love them during the holidays, but love them from a distance. Man, when we took our kids to family outings like that, we were always ostracized. Oh, you're protecting those kids too much. You've put your kids in a bubble and they're never going to amount. They'll never make it in the world. Theirs are all in jail, been married and divorced 16 times. Weird, worldly. And now they say, boy, we wish we would have done what you did. Oh yeah, my kids can't make it in the world. Don't participate at holiday time at laughing at wrong things. Somebody's going to tell something they shouldn't tell. Don't laugh at it. Next. Oh man, I got to hurry. I got three more things I got to mention. I got 5 minutes. I'm going to run through this real fast. Next, we need to keep right finances. You'd be upset at the church if we had a $10,000 credit card debt all the time. Then why is it okay for you to have that? Don't get mad at me. I'm just saying it. Wonder why the Spirit's good here? Oh, folks, we got to have money or we're not going to make it another week. You ain't heard your preacher ever say that. Now, we've had weeks where I didn't know how we were going to make it. There's been many a week I didn't take a paycheck or took very little of it. Just keep the bills paid. Say, when was that? None of your business. Been a long time, but it's been there. But can I tell you something? God always provides. Amen. Make sure every bill's been paid on time. We've had one late bill in 10 years. And it's because when we moved from Aiken Center when we moved from the big rented warehouse to the Aiken Center, they didn't transfer the phone bill. They wouldn't do it. You had to do it a certain way, and we didn't do it that way, didn't know it. And they turned the phones off. We had to call the phone company with our cell phone and find out, well, your bill's overdue. Well, you never sent it to us. We sent a change of address. Oh, you can't do it that way. You got to do it this way. And we had it paid within 24 hours. And it was a billing issue. It wasn't that we were not able to pay. Does that make sense? That's the only bill in 10 years we've been late on. We need to live integritous and pay our bills on time at home. If you have to take out extra credit cards to pay bills and rotate your credit card debt just to keep the bills paid, you're in trouble. Now, we don't have to live fancy, but we need to live within our means. Yes, I got my brand new truck. Can I tell you something? It's the only payment I have other than my house payment. And we've worked hard to get there. And I couldn't find a car I wanted. I can seat as many people in a truck and have a truck. And my wife and I talked about it, and I bought her an old car. Paid for it cash. And on we go. Well, you got a new truck, preacher. Yeah, it's the first new truck I've had in my entire life, and I'm 55 years old. Also wiser. Fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards, Paula. Did you know that financial strain is one of the hardest things on a home? I'll guarantee finances ranks right at the top of the hardest strain on a marriage and on a family. There were times my kids didn't have a lot of extras. And going to McDonald's and ordering something off the dollar menu after church on Sunday nights was a big deal, amen? Especially if they could get two of them. There were times they'd say, Dad, I've got some money. Okay, we'll stop. I don't have enough money for y'all. You know that you don't have to go to McDonald's every week? Amen. Matter of fact, you'd be healthier if you didn't go. Amen. if you'll run your home finances like a business and like the church, maybe you'd have more of a church atmosphere in your home. Follow biblical principles with finances, not what you've just been able to do to get by thus far. Moving on, I went to meddling. Number five, we need to give our homes proper time. Look at verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. You know, this building didn't go up overnight. It took time and time and time and time and time. We need to make all the services a priority at church. But may I say something? We ought to make being at home a priority. I think sometimes we do our families a disservice by not being home much. Ouch. I'm going to read what I wrote so that you don't think I'm talking about you. Money shouldn't be more important than God or family. Sleep should not be more important than God or family. Fun and entertainment should not be more important than God or family. Baking, cooking, cleaning, eating should not be more important than God or family. Learn to spend time at home and make it enjoyable, not just a place where you do work. Some of you are going to destroy your kids if all they have to do is work at home. Now, I think there's work that needs done, and that's a place that you can teach them, but life isn't all about work all the time. I taught my boys how to throw baseball and football, how to tackle, how to be tackled, how to get a bloody nose, shoot a gun, fish, hunt. We played board games. They still cheat. Growing up, our house was fun. Now, we did work. We put up wood for burning wood, and they had to mow the grass, and we had to keep things up. I get that. There's things that need done, but it doesn't need to be 24. It doesn't need to be slave labor.
Amen.
Let me read what I put down here. Home is not the production line at work. Some of us men need to quit running our families like we do a crew at work. We get into that production mode, got to do it. We want to run right through everybody. Maybe home ought to be a place that's not work like that. Yeah. How about we learn to serve each other and not demand to be served? Home ought to be a place where you teach your kids to serve, not teach, well, I'm going to teach them to serve by them serving me. No. Lastly, and I'll finish very quickly here. We need to have the right love in our homes. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Did you know you can only love to the level that you know God?
Amen.
The illustration of a husband and a wife and the closeness they have is in direct relationship of the relationship they have with God. I had a very wise teacher in Bible college illustrate it this way. If your relationship is right this way, your relationship this way will be right. If you're having troubles here, it's because you're having troubles here. Guaranteed. You know, I can get along with anybody, even people with whom I disagree. It doesn't mean I'm going to agree with them, but I'm not going to fight with them. I can get along with a Muslim. I can. It doesn't mean I'm going to believe what he believes, but I can be kind to him. I can be friendly with him. I'm not going to talk about how wrong he is and everything. I don't want to start a fight with him. I'm not there to do that. I can get along with him. I was doing business with someone just the other day. walked in, and the owner of the business does a lot of the work there. Happens to be my mechanic. Saw me paying the bill for my wife's car. He walked over and said, "Pastor," walked right out of the shop. He went, "Oh, my hands are greasy." I said, "I don't care." He said, "But they're greasy." I said, "I don't care." Reached out his big old greasy hand, Brother Mike, and shook my hand. He said, "You are unlike any other preacher I've ever met in my life." Oops. Then I don't have to worry about it. I said, "What do you mean, Doc?" He said, "You've sent more business my way, and yet every time you come in here, you pick this place up." He said, "My employees love when you come here." Yes. I said, "Yeah." That's why I said, "I keep paying their salary, that's why." He joked. He joked and he said, "No," he said, "seriously," he said, "you always pick this place up." He said, "It's always good to see you." Can I tell you something? Maybe I'll never get him in church, but I have witnessed to him and know he's saved. Huh. Love in God's house is about what we give, not what we get. Maybe we ought to practice at home giving instead of getting. Hey, this Christmas, how about you wipe your list clear and say, "I don't want anything. I just want to give." You'd be surprised how much happier you would be if you didn't make a list of everything you want. I'm serious. Do you know I live not wanting anything? I really don't. I'd like to get my smell and taste back, but I'll get it back someday in heaven. I'm to the point now, the next thing I smell, the next thing I taste is going to be heavenly, let me tell you. Now, wait a minute, but I can live without it. Yeah, so it's a little less enjoyable, so what? Maybe we ought to learn to give and not worry about what we get. We're so selfish with our love at home. We do something for a spouse and we don't get back what we thought we were going to get back when we did it. Then we get all poochy-lipped and angry and fussy and feuding. And isn't it amazing how selfish we are? God says that he wants us to have the household of God. Maybe we ought to try to have Grace Baptist Church spirit in our homes. And it's in direct relationship, in proportion to the relationship you have with God. Every individual. Say, "Preacher, did you have a spiritual home?" "I don't know. But my kids are doing okay. They don't hate God. I tried to teach them to work hard and love God and everything else up to them." And even if they didn't turn out right, guess what? They had it at home. I can't force them to do it. I can still love them. Don't have to condone any wrong they do. Just like they don't have to condone my wrong. Careful now. Maybe we ought to try to have the same spirit at home that we have at church. And I just showed you from Scripture how to do that. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And powerful truth tonight. The household of God. Do we act like the household of God at home?